and the department, completely welcome. This is our first meeting this year where we were engaging with the amendments to the bill. And I just hope the legal team, because we're meeting them for the first time this year, that you had enough time to rest. I know you did not. As far as we are concerned, you were resting. We know you were not resting, you were working somewhere else with other committees. But anyway, welcome. We have two matters on the agenda. Three. There's the Conditions of Employment Amendment Bill, the Labor Relations Amendment Bill, and then consideration and adoption of the minutes of the 18th, 19th, and 26th of February. Let us deal with the base conditions. We need to go through this, the A list, and then from there, by next week, we should have completed. There's no reason why we should drag it any longer and pass it and then move on to the next one. Thank you very much. I'll give over to the legal team to who's going to take us to Advocate Gordon will take us through, and in that order.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Good morning, and members. I think where the committee ended last year, around about November, on the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, was to, or at least decisions were taken in principle, so that the A list could be repaired. I think we had a preliminary A list at the meeting last year, and then the instruction was that we could go ahead and get a print from a company called PETA, which does the formal printing of bills for Parliament. And so I think at last time, I think last Wednesday, the committee secretary circulated the copies of the Basic Conditions of Employment Bill and the A list. I think it was sent out via email, and that is the A list and bill that I will be speaking to this morning. The document is the 15 at the bottom in the left hand corner, the 15A, 2012. And it will look a bit of a formal, as in the front cover will have an ISBN at the bottom with question marks, because obviously the numbers haven't been allocated, because it hasn't been presented for formal print yet. So the document is that's looking a bit formal as a bill. The A list, that is the document I speak to this morning. Chair, there's nothing contentious. I'm speaking to A list. But it will read the B. And just before, Chair, there's only three clauses in the A list. But just to remind members that you cannot really read the A list without having the B bill in front of you. Because the changes that the A-list proposes will then be effective in the final version of the Basic Conditions of Employment Bill as amended by the committee, which would be the B-bill. And the issues that were, or the instructions that was given last year for the A-list on the Basic Conditions of Employment, Clause 2, that were basically nothing new that changed in the bill substantially. It was just a redraft on the style of the bill. That is the clause in the bill that deals with the prohibition of employers forcing employees to purchase goods or requiring employees to make certain payments conditional upon employment. And that was just when the committee went through that, we discovered that having just to reword and to shift the C into main part of the clause, it read better and it brought the emphasis out of what the committee was trying to achieve. So that is basically clause 2 and its amendments. It should also just be noted that clause 2 of the A-list, where it says on page 394 after if to insert, the purchase is not prohibited by any other statute, and that just needs to be underlined. That's a technical amendment, and we'll get that when the document goes finally within the course of this week to clean for adoption, if we are committee. Then the on page 3, line 16, after scheme, to insert or, and to see the effect of that, you could actually go to the Bible and then actually look at how this new clause now looks on the Bible. That would be page 3. That would be clause 2, and the prohibited conduct by an employer. And we'll now see that in on the Bible in line 17, that all would have taken effect, but the 16 in the A list in line 16, that the reference to the bill is introduced. But the effect when the Bible has changed, that all is now in line 17. So it is 33 capital A, 2 sub A, the employee receives a financial benefit from participating in the scheme, or, and that would always be inserted. And then on page 3 in line 18 of the introduced bill, after reasonable to omit and, once again, that is all the drafting style, clean up that clause. The apostrophe in omit just needs to be deleted. That was a typo error in the A list. That will be corrected, and to substitute the apostrophes as suggested. Then on page 3 in line 19, to omit paragraph C, and one that C would be contentious because C was moved up to become part of the main body of two. So that's nothing substantial, this is drafting style. Then to clause 3, this was where we were speaking about the prohibition against work by children, and it was pointed out in the last couple of meetings that in terms of section 52B, that the minister in terms of the sectoral determination can regulate work or employment for children in respect of various industries in the advertisement industry and media thing. So in order to prevent the conduct by the minister in section 52B from contravening what is now being to be introduced in 43, the suggestion was made that subject 2 be inserted. And that is the effect of clause 3 in the A-list. It's on page 3 in line 23 to omit capital A, which was in the bill, and to substitute subject to section 50 sub 2 sub B, comma small a. And once again, on, that is just the technical correction to read in line with the principal act. Clause 18 would then the amendment to effect the way the bills come into effect. And once again, it's a technical amendment. On page 7 in line 31, after 2012, to insert and comes into operation on the date fixed by the president by proclamation in the Gazette. And just to note that the word Gazette there should be in italics. And see, that would be the outstanding work on the basic condition of employment. Thank you.
This honourable member, just took some few technical things in terms of how the laws are written. They are not written like how we write when we write letters or our documents. They are written differently. There are no substantial matters. I don't know how our members see this. Honorable William.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that you're absolutely right, that with the Basic Conditions of Employment Amendment Bill that we did, we've decided we've basically done with this. There's nothing that we can say. Like you said, there's no substantive issues here. I agree with you, Chairperson. Thank you.
And what's the process now? Where do you go from here? I think we should shift a little bit because we are not forming a quorum to can take meaningful decisions on this. We just hoping that members will come, will join us later. We have we've got one apology. The other apology cancelled. Thank you very much, Shirley. She's here with us. We received a message. We're going to be very good. And thanks for being here on time. The only one we have is of an apology from Honorable Manamela, who is going to join us later. And there's Anton Albert, the same name, a standing apology. So, positions on this matter. We cannot vote. We can't even go close to close. We're not affirming a quorum. Let's move. But we agreed in principle here that this bill, with all the insertions that are made, we are comfortable with them. Yeah. Let's move over to the LRA. We are moving at the speed of lightning. That's not me. Is it my lawyer? And welcome. Ms. Williams, we meet you for the first time. Hope a good holiday, my dear Frostek. Yeah. You're welcome. Come to me on the line.
No, Chair, I'll take the message through the mail.
Maybe because I think
okay, maybe to the distance members. It's been a long time since we've been to this ball. So, you know, even when we come up off the street this season, we really have to sit for a day and a half to remember what the ball was about. And I think for this morning's exercise, perhaps we should be tracking the A-list with a working document. The working document that we worked through as a committee the whole of last year, because that will dull the memory of what the issues were in certain clauses. Because if my memory serves me correctly, I don't think the NRA, the board, was at a stage where final decisions were taken. Yes, there were in-principle guidance for the drafting team, but I think that there were substantial issues still outstanding with the committee. Not many, but there were one or two. The other issue that I would also like to know, that if we track the A-list, as William just presented this morning, with a working document...
Do we have... I don't have that group with me. I think that could be a challenge for all of us. Because that is, we need to engage, but at the same time, understand what is happening and where we are. Can we get copies made? Let's take a break until we get the documents, and we'll be waiting for other members too. And can even check where they are. Zalani. Oh, we're still waiting for the working document. As soon as it arrives, we'll continue the meeting.
This is the hot coffee out there, isn't it?
No, don't need to
be hot. Is that coffee?
Yeah.
Honourable members, we just running short of one person to go through the minutes. But Manabel will be joining us many times from now. So I suggest that let's go through the minutes and then we'll absorb them when he arrives. Is that in order? Honourable Williams.
I think that is in order. I think we should go through the minutes and then when the last member arrives that we can adopt them then. Thank you.
Yep. The minute of Wednesday, the 13th of February. Remember the copies of the 13th February page one of the minutes of the 13th of February. 13th February. Page one. Page 2. page 3. Page 4. Page 4. If you talk about the lecture, now we'll wait for Mananel so that we can adopt the minutes. Minutes of the 19th February. Page 1. Page 2. Okay. Page 2. Any other comment? Next. Tuesday, 26th February. And the last page, page 3. Again, this lady says, look what the prime minister. Yeah, Shalapanzu and Zelikara. You're abandoning the workers.
He's practicing attorney and a specialist in labour law. And the department's here in big numbers. I can't remember his name, but I do know that he's a consultant to the department. An important piece of legislation. That's why I'm here. I mean, I would be here. I was amazed to see it on back on the agenda because I thought that they, because he made the statement last year, the day that was over, they finished off.
So did I. I was amazed when I had the feedback. I mean, I was, yeah, I was in that selection. When you think I was at the last meeting of Kevin over the last year, I had to actually consider it. I knew that the other two did.
No, the other two haven't even started with it. No, they have to start with it when they finish this. But the trouble is now everything's going to be budget for the next month. So they're not going to get anything done until everything. Oh, let me. No,
this is a program changing, isn't it? Not just this department, but anyone. They haven't really been contributing enough.
No, apparently next year with the election, no, they're not expecting anything at all.
They're not wanting anything. They're not wanting anything. Some of the other committees have been saying, well, they're not going to start here now. If it's not before by kind of, you know, June, it's not going to be done. They're talking about which committee was that? Anyway, they were jumping up.
Well, Jeremy Cronin said something. In another instance, it was Public Works. Yeah. So Jeremy Cronin actually said nothing is going to get done, as he said after June. And I mean, people are suffering. Well, I'm having to follow the legal practice bill, he does to say. But I'm disappointed at this.
Legal practice for them. I was an organised profession. 1998, they went to the ministry and said, we need changes to be taken back. They said, no, don't bother, we're going to overhaul the whole thing within the next 2 years.
Yes, sure. 1998 takes you two, and now?
Now there's mayhem because they're all pointing fingers at each other, and we had George Bezos there pleading for unity. Are you an ex-attorney then?
I was a law student.
Oh, no.
And how to find things with PNG.
I tried to go through the document last week. I couldn't follow a lot of things. And so I think it would be either if we are taken through, where were we then, and where are we now? What are the issues? So that it can refresh our minds. And welcome, Honorable Nkemba. Maybe now that the Honorable Nkemba is here, let us talk to the minister. Already we went through, there were not issues that were raised there. Yeah, no. But I said that next week.
Thank you, Chairperson. I propose that we adopt the three sets of minutes that we went through previously.
Yeah.
All of them at the same time. Because I was at all those meetings, so I know exactly what happened.
Yeah, no, if the royal we, then it's easy, we'll show you. Yeah, let's go back to the minutes of the 13th.
Honorable Williams has proposed to adopt minutes.
Any seconder? Honorable Vander Vest Davis. Thank you. Minutes of the 26th February. There were no issues raised here, Honorable Jacob. Honorable Makula Mashal, Chief Mubinyani, second. Honorable Matal. Thank you. We are done with the minutes. Let's go to the waiting document. The LRA. Who is going to go through the...
Thank you.
Ms. Williams.
I just coordinated my attention at the A list, which was sent for committee members, doesn't have the third page in from clause 35 to clause 44.
Because we have just discussed the basic condition of employment. We couldn't go close to close and hold on here because we are not from any economy. Maybe let's go back to that one and then we'll move to the next. So that we know that we are putting this one to rest. Let's go back to the basic condition of employment.
The chat that I'm working with now is actually a lot more clients. I'm thinking about the double the double chips. There's no need that I'm going to do. I'm doing tube change. It's ridiculous. And I mean, yesterday I phoned in, I got a thing and said, I'm sorry, give somebody else to do the you know, the report portion because it's a corn. And then you have to go back to the source documents, and then you have to, I remember we used to get complaints from the department saying that a lot of the very departments that they were they're not accurate reflections. Do you still get that? Not very many. One or two. And sometimes, of course, you know, depending who it is, that one chapter always comes to me. I didn't put it across, and what I meant was that I didn't say it. We get to have a really nonsensical. I want to pull some items. That's what I thought. Sorry, this is correct. And I want my name to be effective. It's not the whole dot X.
You see, I think you've now got a situation where you're the official minute takers, really, aren't you? We were not in those days.
Officials, aren't they? There are actually a lot of basic people around, but I think we've got a lot of education.
Mm-hmm.
And we have got some very good people at the moment.
Yes, I've noticed the calibre has definitely changed, but there are a few, I think they are put some sort of lesser committees, where they sit there, they just put the jolly microphone thing, the funny whatever you have, and what really drives me insane is that they come back and they, you get them apart and then it starts discussion, and then there's a little note. Oh, you've got the recorder here. We haven't taken a single note in the night. Not one. Are you insane? With X, on, I don't know.
Gail got a good editor out this with Richard. He does fine. There's four of them doing it. Gail's doing some Richard and some ideas. And I've delivered it. And then there's another guy who was doing it.
Yeah, because there were only two of us in my day. And then
the horrible stuff. I mean, we could get 7 meetings now, you know. I think I did 10 editors yesterday. It was crazy.
Yeah, I must admit I admire Gail for having the strength to carry on as she has. I mean, but at the same time, and the stress must be awful when you're dealing with poor caliber of people.
So that's why now they just if they don't make it within the system.
Central members
will
discuss the processes, how do we please imagine the first time that I'm dealing with an amendment of
Wood Hills and the amendment.
Either in today or tomorrow. Then forever. I'll give it to them to advocate Gordon to take her through the amendment.
Just for clarity, we're looking at these things, right? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just to explain, members, at this stage in the process, we need 3 documents before us, each one. We need a bill as introduced, and that's if we look at the bottom of the bill, on the current front, it will just say B15-25. That's the introduced, this document. The one that introduced government printed or copies that we have of it, that's the one we need. Then, secondly, we would need an A-list, B15A-2012. That's the one I read out this morning. That has 3 amendments, clause 2, 3, and 18. Read that document. And then coming out of that process, there would be a B-bill, which was also circulated to members last week. But for the purpose of reading now, my reference would be to bill as introduced. So if I'm following on a line or a number or page number, I'm speaking to the bill as introduced, that numbering and that page line, so that's not speaking class documents. So the clause-by-clause process on a bill is usually a line-by-line reading. But practice in Parliament has been that when a clause is not amended, members can vote on the clause without having read each line specifically. Of course, where a clause is amended, there the clause will then be read out with its amendments. And so I'm Dad's Secretary, coming to the formal progress on Bill 15, 2012, which is the basic conditions of an employment amendment bill, dealing with the preamble of the Roll 10, which is on page 100 of the long title, that there were no amendments proposed by the committee, and the vote then has to take place on the long title of the bill, without amendments.
Well, members, there is the law that deals with amendments. Is there any comment? Those in favor, can we see a show of hands? We do need to show of hands. Show of hands. About the long title of the bill, if I agreed with it, if there's an agreement, let's see hands going up. 1, 2, 3, 4. Where are the two members? Yeah, we were from Patna when we reconvened the lot. This is prolonged labor, unnecessary prolongation of the labor pain. We need to be silent, and we were silent. Oh, thank you. Now we're waiting for line. Oh, but so we are seven, yeah. Okay. Yeah, can we vote on this one? The long title of the without any changes. Let's agree to the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All seven. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. I raise my hand too.
Thank you. So moving to clause one of the basic conditions of employment bill. There were no amendments proposed to clause one, so proposed for voting that clause one be adopted without amendments.
It is adopted. Oh, yeah. Now clause one. Let's vote on clause one without amendments. I'm voting. Makubele is abstaining. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, it's agreed to. 7. Let's move on to.
Thank you, Chair. Clause 2 is proposed to be amended by the committee. The amendments to clause 2 are as follows. On page 3, in line 14, ask if to insert the purchase not prohibited by any other statute and closing versus commas full stop. On page 3, in line 16, after scheme, to insert or. On page 3, in line 18, after reasonable, to omit and to substitute the full stop, the apostrophes. On page 3, in line 19, to omit paragraph C. Those are the proposed amendments for adoption by the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Let's see by a show of hands if members have been told this amendment. Honorable Hanari, are you abstaining? Oh. Okay, it is agreed to all seven of them. It's agreed to.
Clause 3, committee amendment. Clause 3, committee amendments proposed on page 3, in line 23, to omit capital A and to substitute subject to section 50, sub 2B, comma A. That was the proposed amendment to clause 3.
Yeah, proposed amendment. Any other was under the
Thank you, Chair. I thought that in the previous one we omitted the full stop, but I see it repeats itself in the next two clauses.
Are you happy with it the way it stands at the moment? At the end of this paragraph, the full stop, apostrophe, full stop. I was under the impression that we've just deleted a full stop there in the previous source, and I thought it was the one, and it seems as if the pattern is repeating itself in the next two clauses. You're happy with it as it stands.
Okay, the dropping on the A list, I think we did make the double full stop out, and I think we just on the A list have to repeat that in clause 3 to take the double A list. I'd like to ask Ms. Williams, from the federal advisors, if she would agree on that at the end of clause 3, the double full stop as well on the interest ball.
Just say if we're talking about the same thing. No, it remains as it is, yeah.
No, that's fine. That's sorted. Thank you, Chair.
Is it agreed to? Yeah, we are. Thank you. Let's move on to it.
Thank you, Chair. Clause 4 is proposed to be adopted without amendments.
Clause 4 adopted without amendments. Yes. Let's see hands. Honorable Makure Mashela, please. Okay, it's all agreed to.
Clause 5, Chair, without amendments. Clause 6.
Clause 6.
Without amendments.
Thank you. It is,
Clause 7, Chair, without amendments.
Clause 7, without amendments. There are only 5 members voting on this one. Can people please concentrate and be with us, please? It's so frustrating when you have to call people whether they are raising their hands or not. Please.
Clause 8, proposed to be adopted without amendments.
1, 2, 3, 4. It's only 4 people who are voting on this one. Those are against. You are against clause 8.
Okay. We just believe that it gives the minister too many powers without the, you know, so we will not support that.
Yeah, yeah, fine. So you are recording your objection to that one. Okay, let's move on to clause 9.
Clause 9, with afternoons.
It's agreed to.
Clause 10, without amendments.
Cannot take the right of employers to object to your compliance is also ordered by labor inspector, they definitely need to have better opinion.
Let's move on to
Clause 11A with Arthur Lehman. Clause 12 with Arthur Lehman. Clause 13 with Arthur Lehman. Clause 14 without amendment. Clause 15 without amendment. Clause 16 without amendment. Clause 17 without amendment.
Clause 17 is agreed to. Sure.
And the last clause was 18 with amendments. Clause 18 in the A list has the proposed amendment on page 7 in line 31 after 2012 to insert and comes into operation on date fixed by the President by proclamation in the event.
Well, then still be known as the Basic Conditions of Employment Amendment Act 2012, or will it be the Act 2013?
No, it won't be once it goes through the system, it proceeds to be a period to be an amendment act. After this process, it will be an amendment act.
Sorry, when this document goes through Parliament and it's on the statute books, it will be called an amend act. For our purposes, it's a bill.
Questions about the year. Will it still be the Act of 2012 or will it then be the Act of 2030?
Thank you. Maybe I can just add that the bill, once they take the bill into review, they get the number and they both say that year number. It can have different versions, A, B, that little Z. But when it becomes an Act the day, it's assented to by the President, it becomes an Act, and in the year in which it's assented to, that year number gets attached to it, so it depends on if it's the 10th Act that the President signs in 2030, so it will be Basic Conditions of Employment Amendment Act number 10 of 2013.
Thank you. Because it is an old bill from last year, so we can call it 2013 bill, it's still 2012.
If I also may add that you will note that it includes 18. As we are proposing the amendment, it says the bill comes into operation on the date fixed by the President. And so that date will then determine the numbering of the Act.
And if the President is to sign it next year, it will be, 2014. So clause 18, with all the amendments, let's vote on this one. Yeah, it is agreed to. Okay, we are done with the basic conditions of employment amendment bill. The report of the Portfolio Committee on Labour and the Basic Conditions of Employment Amendment Bill dated 5 March 2013. The Portfolio Committee on Labour, having considered the subject of the Basic Conditions of Employment Amendment Bill E15 of 2012, National Assembly Section 75 referred to it and classified by the Joint Taking Mechanism as a Section 25 bill. Report the bill with Amendment B15A 2012. It will be signed. So we'll ask for the report to be considered. So let's show by show of hands it works. A report from the House on the bill. We support him that the committee will report to the House. Yeah. So you can make your declaration in the House that you are back room.
On the object of the bill, I'm just asking, under the clause of the bill, where you say the bill seeks to address the government's commitment to avoid exploitation of workers. You will never, in a capitalist society, you will never avoid exploitation of workers. In a capitalist society, you will never avoid exploitation of workers. That's what capitalism is all about. So how do you avoid it? You can only alleviate it. You can regulate the exploitation of workers.
Your comment is noted, Honorable Khanare, and if you want to raise it in the House, I think you're free to do that. So let's show of hands to, but we have agreed on it. Yeah, it is done already, all right. Yeah, it's done.
For now,
the first baby is delivered. So we are left in the prayer of the God. Yeah, we've got to deliver the film to the elephant. Let's move to the LRE. Can you go through those briefing notes that reminding us where we stopped last year and what are the issues so that we can make some progress? So let me give over to the team, to the legal. To a legal team. Who's going to dig through this one? Ms. Williams.
Thank you. Congratulations for passing the basic conditions. With regard to labor relations, we're using three documents. The one is the document which was photocopied, which is a document submitted by Steve Montia. We'll be using the labor relations amendment bill and the copy of the A list. The labor relations A list. Okay. I will start with clause one of the bill. Even before we start with clause one, Chair, there was a new clause to be inserted. There was a proposal that following be a new clause to be inserted before clause one of the bill. That is the proposed amendment to Section 3 of the Labor Relations Amendment Act, that Section 1 of the Principal Act is amended by the substitution for subparagraph A of the following subparagraph. It's basically to substitute Section 27 with Section 23. It's a consequential amendment to provide for the transition from the interim constitution to the new constitution. Section 27 for a reference in the interim constitution, Section 23 is a reference in the current constitution. Okay. Can I go to the next one? Okay. The proposed new clause, the one on the A list, the proposed new one. You'll see the words in bold and in brackets indicate deletion. to be deleted and the words which are underlined indicate an insertion. So the Act speaks to Section 27. The reason why Act speaks to Section 27 is because it was passed at the time of the interim constitution. So reference to the interim constitution, but reference to the same relevant section is under Section 23 of our existing constitution. So it's just to align for alignment. Okay.
Chair, I assume that the spelling mistake and will be corrected. To give you effect to and
regulate. Okay, thanks for that. And then you move to clause one of the bill. Clause one of the bill is a clause on page. See on page 2, line 10, to omit engaged and to substitute employed. This substitution happens throughout the bill. So whenever we substitute engaged, we will substitute with employed, just to provide for clearer understanding or easy understanding. Then, under clause 1, with regard to the next amendments, when we discuss the bill, if we look on page 3, we'll see there's a subsection 8, capital D, that is in line 25, 26, in line 27. We see subsection 8, capital D, and before that we have from line 40 on page 2, we'll see subsection 8A, then we'll have 8B and 8C. Now the context of subsection 8A, B and C is essentially the same as we have in subsection 8D. Chief, I may, the department will just go through and explain the differences because subsection 8D we've identified in our deliberations that is essentially the same as subsection 8A, B and C. So maybe the department can go and explain as to which would be the better option to take. Either we omit 8D or we omit 8A to C, but they're essentially the same. Appears to be a petition. I'll hand over to Mr. Parson.
Thank you, Chair. We concur with the colleague from State Law Advisor that Section 8D, these clauses were drafted initially as alternative clauses that we had to make a choice in the department which clause would want. They basically say the same thing, 8A up to 8C and 8D. And in our haste to publish the bill, we forgot to delete that section, one of the sections, to choose one of the sections. And our proposal is that Section 8B be the one that we take off the bill. And then the bill will start from 8A up to 8C.
The floor is yours.
Thank you. I don't know if the committee wants to, for the purpose of finalizing the A list for the Labour Relations Amendment Bill, this was one of the outstanding issues. So if the committee agrees that we omit subsection 8A to 8C, we omit that from the bill. So you omit 8D, sorry. Yeah. The committee omits subsection 8D, that is on page 3 from line 27 up to line 52. Okay. If the committee can give indication where they shift that.
I think the purpose is just to take us through what we went through last week, last year, to refresh our mind.
Okay, sure. But these were the outstanding issues, Chair. So the other things the committee has given indication that they're okay with it, not okay. This won't be a voting protocol, okay. But just to give us indication, so we set this off now, then we don't come back to that. Then we know, okay, that is taken off because it's a repetition. Thanks.
there was an objection, people would have raised their hands. So continue.
Thank you. So we'll take that amendment to the A list, to the proposed A list. Okay. The next one is Ivanka. We have no issue there. We'll go to clause 3. Clause 2, there were no issues. No legal issues identified in clause 3. On page 4, in line 46, to omit engage and to substitute employees. That's the same as we did in clause 1. At the meeting of the 30th of November 2013, the committee agreed that it will stay within the proposed new insertion by the parliamentary law advisors, an issue which was raised when they said within 60 or 90 days the committee was deciding between the two, and I think they decided to leave it at 60 days as it is in the Act.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Member. Chairperson, I would just like to correct, that was a policy decision that was led to the committee at the department's request. Due to the responsibility shift to the minister, there was an argument made that more responsibility would be placed on the minister in terms of the amendment, and therefore the request for a consequential amendment so that the 60 days become 90 to allow for more time. But that was not a proposal or a suggestion from our office, Chairperson. That led to a policy decision for the committee.
Yeah, the discussion was in the court. It did not come from you. So, which one are we agreed on? We said 90 days. Yeah?
On the 30th of November, the committee need to keep it as 60 days.
60 days.
Yeah, it has to be corrected. It didn't, but
yeah, there was an agreement on 60 days now. I remember the discussion. Can we move on?
Thank you. I have nothing more on clause 3. In respect of clause 5 of the document submitted by the parliamentary law advisors, there was no amendment. The committee agreed no amendment to make to clause 5. Clause 6, also no amendment. Clause 7 was no amendment. On the 17th November, also. To 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, there was no legal issues identified, and therefore the committee did not propose any amendments. Clause 13, no amendments. Clause 14, no amendments proposed. 15, no amendments. And clause 16, no amendments. In respect of clause 17, there was an amendment proposed to page 12 of the bill. On page 12, from line 28, to omit the administrator or any person referred to in subsection 1 and to substitute by the trade union, commerce, employer, organization, or registrar.
Yeah, we agreed on this one.
Okay, if I may just also add something.
Okay,
my memory failed at this point. It's usually a bit crisp. On the working document at page 5, still on clause 17 where we are, at a time when the committee deliberated on the issue of the administrator fees, our office proposed a redraft to 4C, which is on page 5 of the working document. The other one is to begin. Page 5 of the working document, and we proposed the C, and if memory serves me correct, I think since the committee agreed in principle to take the full C as redrafted, but take away the words against the assets. So the full C that we proposed was if the administration process does not result in the winding up of the trade union or employee's organization, as contemplated in section 103, comma, the administrative fees will be paid on expense of the trade union or employee's organization. And I think that the committee favored that view to place the
4C of the bill, but it's not currently in the A list, so that just needs to get to the direction of whether that amendment makes its way into the A list for the MRA.
But we move it into the A list. I think it makes a lot of sense to me to move it into the A list. Yeah, let's move it to the A list. Is there any objection to moving on to the A list? None. Can we move on?
Okay, thanks, Chair. I'll include that in the A list. So that will be the administrative fees will be paid as an expense of the trade union or employer's organization. Clause 18, no legal issues was identified. Clause 19, no amendment was proposed. Clause 20 was initially flagged and the committee decided no amendments to Clause 20. Clause 21, no amendments proposed. Clause 22, 23 and 24, no legal issues was identified, but on Clause 23 to omit the full stop and substitute, that should say drafting correction that we made into the bill where the full stop was underlined, it should not be underlined because it's not an insertion. So that amendment in clause 23. Clause 25 on page 14 in line 29. To omit four terms. So that should be clause 25, subsection 6(8), paragraph A and B, if the employee earns less than the threshold prescribed by the minister of section 6(3) of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, is required to pay any part of the cost of the private dispute resolution proceedings. So four terms is deleted from that subsection, from the paragraph A of subsection 6A. And then clause 27, 28, and clause 34.
Okay. Honorable Mother, thank you. I'm just looking at the amendment that's included in the introduced, but that four times is still in there.
What?
The four times is still in the bill. We're supposed to take it up, but it still reads any less than four times the threshold. It's still there in the copy that I have, B16. Is that the original? Oh, okay.
Thank you.
That is the
whole
thing. Okay,
all right. I got it, yeah. Will I even be reflected in the default?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. And then clause 27, clause 28, and clause 28, and clause 34. Those clauses are rejected because it's contained in the Superior Court's bill, which is currently before Second House.
We agreed on this one in the last meeting.
Clause 35, on page 17, in line 42, to omit engage under and to substitute employee in terms of. That is just, we've reworded that provision to read more clearly and give me understanding. Clause 36, no amendments proposed. Clause 37, none. Clause 38, I haven't included it in here because the committee decided to flag the issue of clause 38. So maybe I think the department wants to respond to that change.
It's not remember. If you remember, in all our discussion, we agreed that there should be a small committee. where that's the bill, you will consider that relook, come up with a draft to relook on clause and clause on that clause. And what we need to do, we need to submit a final version from that committee that was appointed for the member to consider. And that one has not been submitted yet, as per the decision of the last meeting. We will go today, but I don't think that members would have gone through it to Middle East today in this discussion.
Did any member register?
No, I'm saying we'll submit today.
Okay, all right, now I go now.
Yeah.
It will not resist it, yeah. Okay, let's move on.
So, close to 8 minutes.
Remind ourselves where we were last year, so that we can move you know, into all of us.
Thank you. Clause 38 remains flat. I am putting in the A list until the committee agrees. Clause 39, no legal issues for 25. Clause 40, there was a proposal to substitute Sally and to substitute it with remuneration. I think the department would like to respond to that. Thank you.
We understand that there was an argument on this, but we just want to fix something that we think committee need to consider on this. The reason is salary, not remuneration, but remuneration includes everything. Now, this is trying to give certainty on the date of dismissal. If the department dismisses me now, if we put remuneration, it means that I'll be regarded as dismissed only when I receive my pension fund also, which might be 6 months or 7 months down the line. And but when you say salary, it means the salary for the months that you earn. If I'm dismissed today, the department will give me my salary by the 15th of the next month. Therefore, that is the date of my dismissal. But if you say remuneration, I could still be not be dismissed 6 months down the line because I'm waiting for another excess of my remuneration, which is pension in this case. And that's the issue that we wanted to raise. And then the thing that salary captures the issues of that we want to and bring certainty earlier on the date of dismissal than keeping it open for a longer period because you're waiting for a part of your remuneration.
Let's not leave it open and let the honorable members.
Yes, I'm not clear with the explanation from the department. Because within the remuneration, you also include pension fund monies, which are not administered by the company. I don't know, how do you include that? How do you regard the money that I have to claim, which are administered by another body, not necessarily the employer? How do you include that? Because if you talk about that, you can also include unemployment benefits, everything that I have to claim outside the payment by the employer. Maybe I forgot what they advanced last. Khalid, thank you, sir.
Now, the purpose of today is, I guess, to discuss and I can recap so that we know where we were last time. So, can you
if you look on the definition of remuneration in the LRA, as it states now, it says remuneration means any payment in money or in kind. It means any payment in money or in kind, or both in money or in kind, known or owing to an employee in return for that person working for any other person, including the state. Therefore, it means that any money that comes to you, whether it be in shares, whether it be in terms of houses, whether it be pension, coming to you as an employee, that's remuneration. Now, when you say the date of dismissal is a date that you get remuneration. It means it becomes a date when you get everything. It doesn't matter who's the payment of that. The pension is a benefit that the company gives you. Whether that pension is administered by Sanlam, but it is a benefit that the company gives you. Therefore, it's included in your remuneration. And what we say is that this is trying to determine the date of dismissal. When you say the date of dismissal is when you get your remuneration, it means then that when I'm still waiting for your pension fund, technically, in terms of the definition of remuneration, you're still not dismissed. Therefore, if you're not dismissed, the confusion that we're trying to sort out on the date of dismissal will continue because there's still a benefit that we're still looking for. That's the issue that we're raising.
I would agree that we put on the aid if there's an agreement with the member. The difference between salary and remuneration. Oh! As well as the English went back to England. Advocate Gordon. Miss Williams. Followed by Honorable Williams.
Thank you. I think that during the course of last year, the discussion was about keeping consistency throughout the legislation. It was the fact that the LRA made reference to the word remuneration and not salary, so it was trying to keep uniformity when we speak about what happens in the ambit of labor law. I hear what the department is arguing this morning, that they're looking at a narrower aspect of termination, looking at their date. But I think I've got a question to add to that. What happens in the event of somebody who gets paid in kind, who doesn't receive a salary? What happens to somebody who gets wages but not a salary? Because all of those terms have different meanings. A salary is not a weekly remuneration. A salary is perceived to be a monthly remuneration. Somebody doesn't necessarily get money but in kind. And so when you're narrowing the scope to the word salary, perhaps the department could just offer clarity on what their view would be when somebody does not get a salary but indeed dismissed. And preferring the narrower term salary to the remuneration. Thank you.
Miss Williams.
Are you confused
by Williams? Miss Williams.
I'm being labeled non-qualified chief. Please protect me. See, yes, I just want to do, I just want to clarify dropping thing here because currently the bill says salary and there was a request to substitute salary with remuneration. So when the committee chooses salary, it will the bill say as it is. If it's remuneration, it will be a proposed amendment to the bill. Thanks.
I just need some clarity then. The legislation came to us with the word salary in the legislation. Initially, that's what it was last year. Now, the department put in an amendment, and now Parliament has put in an amendment to change it to remuneration, and the department doesn't want it to change. I'm just getting clarity on where we are here. Okay, thank you.
We can say what we want. I think that is what the whole thing is all about. Let's listen to who's going to speak on this one. Yeah, it's all in a minute.
Mr. Chair, if I could just clarify the meaning of the term. Wage in, there are three terms you use in labor, wage, salary, and remuneration. Wage means earnings for ordinary time, that is defined in the Basic Conditions Employment Act. Salary is a well-established term. Refer to all cash wages. There's no sort of idea that wages are weekly, salary or monthly. It's not a part of our law, maybe part of terminology. Remuneration means all earnings. And it includes, for instance, if the employer has a pension fund, a provident fund, where you may get the money out a month later. So I think that your salary was understood by the the Nedlay parties to have the meaning of cash wages, all cash earning. And there's a lot of cash to run out.
Also, just to add, I mean, committee must bear in mind what the limitations are. The committee doesn't decide whether they go one way or the other, must bear in mind what's the intention of this clause. This clause is to try to bring certainty in terms of when the dismissal is. The intention of this clause is not to extend the period of when the dismissal is. Now, if there's consistency, we're talking about consistency in the legislation in terms of the term remuneration, that consistency should not be at the expense of what we want to do in terms of this clause. What is the issue that we want to deal with? We want workers and employers to be clear, and even the CCMA, when people take up cases, calculation of the 30 days, when the 30 days come in, want them to be clear when the dismissal is. And we say the dismissal is when you get your money. It's not when, and that's why we say, when you say then the dismissal is when you get your benefit, your pension fund, then it could be 6 months after it has not worked, the dismissal. And I think that for us it's important to look at what is it that we're trying to do and whether the proposal that is in the table fits with what we're trying to do. And that's the issue that we're putting on the table.
I also understand wages as you know. Yeah, we can figure it out. But my understanding was that wages is this one where people tune the window and they give you money. You know, it will mostly be the unprofessional workers, the laborers, get wages. That was my understanding. And those who get salaries are those who are up there, you know, they get paid through the banks. Now you are complicating it for me, but I'm learning, you know. Honorable Nyakembo.
Commissioner, with the latter explanation, it makes sense if then the focus will be on SAR, because it was really is to determine the date of dismissal. In that you can be dismissed by being given a notice, then it explains that if then the notice expires, that means the expiry date of the notice is the date of dismissal. If it's an earlier, then that means when you are paid your outstanding salary, then it makes sense now. To me, not to Honorable Williams. No, not even looking at him.
Honorable Williams.
Thank you, Chairperson. Ignore the latecomers' comments. I want to know whether or not there is anything that could be considered as payment for services for work that isn't included in salary in the definition in the law. So in other words then, if I get paid through kind or if I get paid for something, is there something that falls outside of the definition of salary? And if so, when will those people be considered as being the termination of their employment?
To ask those ones to undertake payment in kind. But anyway,
I think Paul has explained this thing nicely, that salary is the wage, the cash value of the wage. Now let us make an example. I'm a farm worker, I'm in 20 rand the week or the month. And I also get payment in kind in terms of accommodation. Now, I'm dismissed here. I get my payment at the end of the month. I still stay in that accommodation in the farm. And in terms of the accommodation, there are other laws that are involved because they can't throw me to the state. I don't have alternative accommodation. The issue of when do you taken out of the street and all the process, they could take a longer time in determining whether I'm moving out of the house, because moving out of the house is not a simple issue, although it's a payment in kind. I could be staying in that house for 3 months, 4 months, challenging only the fact that I should move in because I do not have authority for accommodation and all those issues. That's the kind of payment in kind. Therefore, in looking at salary, you're looking at the cash. And you say, well, you get paid at the end of the month if you're paying at the end of the month. If the date of the notice does not specify, then that's your date of the dismissal. And that's what the intention of this proposal is trying to clarify. Yeah.
Benefit equivalent to payment in kind.
No, it talks to cash. Your salary is cash. And it does not say that before your dismissal will be when you get the payment in kind. It talks to salary. When you get salary, whether is it monthly, whether it's weekly, your last salary that you get will be determined as your date of dismissal. So that there's no question about whether when you were dismissed and all of those issues. Because if the employer says, no, you're still not dismissed, then the employer has got to show that there's still a salary owed to you that will come in the following month or following week. That's the intention of this clause.
Honorable Williams, may we listen to Ms. Williams?
Thanks, Chair. I think it's also one of the things that must be bear in mind is when we draft legislation, we must make sure that it's clear that we're interpreting, we're able to understand, because if the objective of this specific clause is to provide for this specific outcome or something which is or something specified, I think we need to try and couch it in a way to make sure that it can't be interpreted as anything else, because then it creates certainty, and I think especially when it comes to dismissal, it puts people in a vulnerable position, and when there's uncertainty going from post to post and not knowing where the starting point is, can even create bigger challenge. We heard what the President spoke about in the State of the Nation again about unemployment, and unemployment is such a key thing. So we need to look at how do we address that. And when we have certainty in terms of dismissal, certainty in terms of things and actions that have been taken, it helps with the burden of unemployment in our country. So I think we need to look at what objective is of this specific provision. And we don't want to challenge it. If we use, for example, if we use remuneration, the first thing an attorney will go and say, remuneration in the Labour Relations Act is the word is defined, provide for A, B, C, and D. So this week we only got A, you can't claim date of dismissal because you need to wait for C, D, and E, the other. So I think we need to provide certainty. Thank you.
No, don't call him Williams. That one is a criminal, this one. I mean, is that? You may continue.
Okay, so does the committee agree to keep the salary?
Yeah, we agreed on salary.
Not voting on that. Just for the purpose, yeah, proposing, yeah. Sorry, yeah. I made it to
the yeah, that was one affecting it.
I'd like to know why the word salary was questioned in the first place by Parliament.
It just goes into the A list.
So then the amendment to clause 40, there will be no amendment to clause 40 because we won't oppose that salary be substituted with remuneration because the bill provides for salary. So there will be no amendment to clause 40. Next one would be clause 41. The committee agrees that there be no amendment to clause 41. Clause 42, no legal issues were identified. With regard to clause 43, if you look at the ball on page 21,
192 to omit those times and to substitute it with whose service is procured for or provided. And then on page 21 in 96 to omit services and provide for service, to omit the plural and to provide for the singular. Those were the only amendments that was proposed to clause 43. Something anybody would like? Clause 43. Clause 44. On page 21, in 929, after the word section, to insert A. So in this section, A, temporary employment service, because we're changing the plural to the singular. So it's just grammar change, A, it will be, instead of services, we will have service. On page 21, in 95, after B, we'll insert the word A. So on page 21, we'll see clause 34, the section 198. A, subsection 1, paragraph C, will read, in a category of work for any period of time which determined to be a temporary employment service. Those are the changes proposed to 95. In line 43, we'll see that those changes provide for the same thing throughout, just to create consistency and uniformity in clause 44. We have the same thing on page 21 in line 43 to omit subsection 2 and to substitute subsection 1 as a consequential amendment. On page 21 in line 44, after performing to insert A, and then the reason for inserting the A, we're changing the services from the plural to the singular. And then on page 21, in line 45, to add or, because it will be for the purposes of this act, an employee firstly in subsection 1, and then it will be A or B. On page 21, in line 46, after performing to insert A, and then the same we inserting the A because we're substituting plural with the singular services with service. On page 21, in line 41, to omit assignment and to substitute service. And then on page 22, move to the next page. In 19. To omit engaged and to substitute employed. Page 22, in 19, to omit purposes and to substitute purpose. So that's a plural for the singular. And then number 13 of the A list on page 22, in line 26, to omit engaged and to substitute employed. On page 22, in line 26, to omit that and to substitute which. On page 22, in line 28, to omit engaged and to substitute employed. The same we're doing to page 22, line 31, page 22, line 38, page 22, line 43, page 22, line 45 and 49, we omit engaged and we're substituting employed. We're doing the same in line on page 22 in line 50, omitting engage and substitute engaged on and substituting employed for the purpose of. On page 22 in line 52, to omit engage on and to substitute employed if. On page 23 in line 4, to omit on and substitute in terms of. The same is done on page 23 in line 8. On page 23 in line 11, we omit engages and we substitute employees.
on page 23 in 9L to omit on and substitute in terms of. On page 23, in line 23, to omit purposes to the plural and substitute with a singular. On page 24, from line 18, to omit paragraph D. On page 24, from line 18, to omit paragraph D and to substitute any other criteria of a similar nature. And then, and such reasons not prohibited by Section 6.1 of the Employment Equity Act. The reason why I'm doing that is we see the words, the line of the D, and such reason is not prohibited. It will be applicable to A, B, C, and D. That's why we're moving it down to the bottom, the spacing. And that is all the amendments that we have for clause. All the amendments we have for clause 44.
Yes. Dr. Ray, some issues on this section. Paul will take the comments for me.
As you recall, this is a very key clause, and it's quite a significant change in our law. There were lots of comments received, and there were also further discussions as to how to make it clearer. And just to make it simple, I think there are some further amendments that the committee should well consider. The first is a thing that a lot of people made in representations that Section 2 says this section does not apply to employees, and then in Section 3 it says an employee refers to in subsection 2. So there's just a little contradiction that needs to be clarified. That in fact the employee in Section 3 is the one to whom the section does apply. So that needs to be clarified, I think. But most people read it as being a contradiction. So if Section 2 says the section does not apply to employees only above the threshold, and then it says Section 3 says for the purpose of this act, an employee referred to in subsection 2, which is in fact the employee referred to in subsection 2 is the excluded employee. So I think probably just the words referred to in subsection 2 could come up. Because that's the employee contemplated by. Then the other... that's in 3, and it's line 42 and 43. I think the words referred to in subsection 2 can come out.
Should end with a little maybe.
No, referred to in subsection 2 can come out. An employee, and that means all employees except those excluded by subsection 2, which is
employee.
So if you take out referred to in subsection 2, the ones referred to in subsection 2 are the ones who are not covered.
Can we present that to the whole meeting now?
Yeah.
Just so that we're all on board before we allow Honorable Williams.
I think basically what Paul is saying is that if you read subsection 2 as it is now, subsection 2 talks about exclusion, who is excluded. These people who are earning above the threshold that the minister said are excluded. And then sub 3 says, for the purpose of this act, employees refer to subsection 2, which are excluded. It should say other than those who are referred there. It covers all employees except those that are in subsection 2.
But the mistake now that is done, that is referring back to those employees that are or excluded already. But it wants to deal with those that are not excluded from three downwards. That's what it's trying to do. And but the way to it now is referring back to those that are already excluded, and that's the point.
Okay. Honorable Williams.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm still a little bit confused. If that's the case, then why don't they just remove three completely? That census, for purposes of this act, an employer referred to in subsection 2, and take that sentence out completely. Because if we are referring to... Subsection 2 implies that this section is not apply to employees earning more than the threshold. So what does subsection 3 apply to? Employees earning less than threshold. So why don't they say, for the purpose of this act, the employee earning less than the threshold, that's the way to change it. But it's still going to be confusing.
The point is that we need to relook at that. How it will ultimately be reflected possibly when we come back, we've got to look at it, and the legal advisors made suggestions how it should be rewritten, and then possibly we need to look at it. But the only issue that we're explaining is that as it is written now, it is confusing because it's referring to a subsection that is already excluded in terms of the law, and should not be referring to that, because the text is talking to those that are covered by this section, who are below that section. And how you link the two together and say what you want to say, that's what subscribe to try and do, so that is clear.
Okay, can we regard that as one of the redrafts that we need to get? Okay, can we pass on that?
One of the meetings last year, I think that issue did come up. And I think that when we're dealing with sub 3, for the purpose of this act, anybody referred to subsection 2 at the time when we couldn't figure out to what that subsection 2 refers to, I think the department indicated that subsection should have been subsection 1. And that is how the meetings have proceeded, that the purpose of this act employee referred to in subsection 1. Because we were told that it was a typo and that it was incorrect subsection. So if I could just get clarity, are we now referring to subsection 1, or was that just a complete misdraft in reference to sub 2? Because sub 2 we feel was an anomaly because of the exclusion. But the understanding was it was referring to 1, and I think that's the way it was drafted in the proposed A list as well, that it refers to subsection 1, not 2. Thank you, Chair.
I think that must have been a misunderstanding, because in fact the only category of employee referred to in subsection 1 is the person for whom there's a substitute. So it couldn't be that. It's 3 and 2 relate to each other. I think that was certainly the intention of the way it was drafted in NEDLA. If you look at line 44, what sub 1 deals with is services, and the reference to services should in fact be, the cross-reference back to 1 should be in line 44. There might have been some confusion there, but there needs to be a reference back to subsection 1. It should be in line 44, performing temporary services as contemplated in subsection 1. And that's not clear by that point.
Williams? Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm very confused now. I know it's not difficult to confuse me, but it happened here. I don't know what we're doing here. What's happening with this 2 and 3? Are we taking out 3? Are they redrafting the whole thing? Why don't we just put the whole thing aside, and they redraft it, and they all talk amongst themselves as legal stuff, and then come back to us with their decided the way it's going to look, and then we can discuss it. Because what's happening here in front of us is the legal teams are arguing on this in real time in front of us. Do you know what I'm saying? We'd like to see the end product of them, and they've got consensus, or they might not have consensus, but we'd like to see that end product. Not in real time arguing, because then, you know, we could throw our Bush, you know, Shop Stewart Brewer's logo onto this, and it could cause chaos and mayhem. Thank you.
Okay. But I think we're agreed in principle that there will be a redraft process, and that we will get the product thereof. And let's see if there are other issues for the committee's consideration, not for real-time argument. Is that okay?
All right.
And I think we all agree that that's a very important part of the, and I think we you know, it's the most important part of the. Okay. Are there any other things on that section? Let's leave it at that. That we'll get a redraft. All right.
Thank you. We'll provide the committee with a redraft. We're coming to close. No legal issues was identified. Clause 36, there was no amendment proposed. Clause 47, also no legal issues was identified and no amendment proposed. The same with Clause 48, except for in Clause 48. Clause 38, the definition of serve, it's on page 25 in line 17 of the buy to insert electronic mail. So serve means to send by electronic mail, registered post, telegram, telex, telefax, or to deliver by hand. So we provide for insertion of electronic mail. And clause. The inserted amendment of the long title. The amendment of the long title of the following be a new clause. The long title of the principal act is hereby amended by the substitution for section 27 of section 23. That's the same as the previous consequential amendment. The first one was reference to the interim constitution and the other one is reference to the current constitution. Clause 50. Clause 50 on page 25 in 92. After 50 to insert 1. On page 25 in 92. After 50 to insert 1. Oh, to be, could we mention that two subsections, 50 the long title, where two subsections would read, this act is called the Labor Relations Act and comes into operation on a date fixed by the President by proclamation in the government debate. On page 25, after line 30, we'll add another subsection, not to say subsection 1, the coming into operation of subsection 1984F. It was suspended until the date when the applicable legislation contemplated in section 1984F enters into force. Thanks. That's all the amendments that we have on the A-list now.
Okay. Any issues on...
sorry, might I just ask?
Close, I think, from 45 to 50.
This act is called the Labor Relations Act. Shouldn't the word amendment say?
Yeah.
All right, I think that's it from there. No other. Oh, yes, please.
Thank you, Chair. With regard to the 3-year court bill, two other issues were parked and they weren't included in the A list, but we would just like to highlight something for the committee's consideration for when voting. With regard to clause 31 and 33, they were highlighted and flagged as possible consequential rejections with the 3-year court bill. These sections refer to section 159 and section 168 in the Principal Act. They are not in the Superior Court Bill, or they weren't touched or amended by the Superior Court Bill as passed by National Assembly. And the reason for that, we looked at that and we would just like to bring this to committee's consideration. We highlighted Schedule 6 of the Constitution in last year's meetings, and I think it was November 13th meeting, in stating that the Minister of Justice has the constitutional mandate to organize the composition and functioning of the courts. And in the Minister of Justice, when the bill was passed by the National Assembly, highlighted that when they look at the Labour Relations Act and the sections that were to be amended to bring in to bring the court within that constitutional vision, it says the rationalisation of the court as well as the way of allowing the judiciary to lead its own administration were taken into consideration, along with the independence of the court. For that reason, we still flag section or clause 31 and 33 as constitutional issues, because clause 31 goes to the administration, which the Minister of Justice highlighted with the Superior Court Bill that the TP on Justice left untouched. And in this clause here by the LRA amendment, it speaks to the judge president and how he or she must regulate the internal processes, when the rules board must convene, how often. That speaks to administrative issues, which was specifically left untouched. So this flagged that as a composition issue or administrative issue in Schedule 6. And then 33, Section 168 speaks to the composition of the Labour Appeal Court. That also is something then that would have been taken into consideration when the Superior Court Bill was drafted and then adopted by the PC on Draft and the NA, because it speaks to the rationalisation and the composition, which is also a Schedule 6 competency of the Minister of Justice. Within the Superior Court Bill itself, that mandate of the Minister of Justice has actually been amplified in Section 3, where it says that any bill or any legislation that touches on the composition, administration or structure must be done in consultation with the Minister of Justice. So for that reason, Chairperson, we still flag clause 31 and 33 as constitutional issues for the committee's consideration. Thank you.
Essentially, because I think the debate at some point in the committee was whether do we keep it in the as part of the amendment, for deliberations, or do we leave that process to the deliberations in the Superior Court Bill. So essentially what you are reminding us of that discussion, and I think the progress that has happened, which we need to take into consideration. Chair, we have received the entire presentation, so I can hand back to you to continue. Oh,
Chair, I mean, for us, the issue of Section 31, of Clause 31, it's not dealt with in the Supreme Court bill, this issue. And the parties have made, feel very strong here about the rules of the Labour Court. And the Labour Court is different from any other court. Constituents in the Labour Court and the rules determine the operation of the court. And if the court does not operate to the satisfaction of the constituency, that affects it. It creates problems. And we agree that there was a decision that if the Supreme Court bill deals with the issues and is passed before this court with the bill, then we take those issues out. But that specific area, I'm not going to the constitutionality and all those issues, but that specific area is not in the constitutional court bill. Clause 31, that talks when should the rules board meet and all of those issues. And that's when the members decide, they must bear that in mind, that that was a decision and this is not part of that bill. It's not catered for in that bill. 33, well, is just a technical amendment. The law presently talked to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court. And the changes that we're making there is that presently, only judges of the High Court can act in the appeal court. That's what the law says, and the changes we are making is that judges of the labor court should be able also be able to act in the appeal court. They are in the labor court already. They've went through the process, but they cannot act in terms of this section. This section only says judges of the High Court. This law. Now, if we say this section is unconstitutional, then it's going to be the whole section as the law says, not the amendment that we're making. The amendment that we're making, the intention is trying to deal with is that you should be able to give people who are judges in the labor court, or not necessarily judges of the High Court, an opportunity to act as appeal court judges. And that's the only thing that this is raising. Members when they decide on these issues, I mean, the issue of constitutionality, the concurrency with the Minister of Justice, this bill went to Gloucester. From the Gloucester, it went to Cabinet. The Minister of Justice, as part of Cabinet, has approved this bill. Therefore, we do not think that there's no concurrence. We discussed with the Department of Justice on this bill. We've agreed with them the areas that will be taken out of the bill, if that bill, but they know about those processes that we had discussion with you on these issues. But it's up to the member.
Get views on the state law advisors and parliament legal team on this one. It will help us moving forward. Our concern is that everything that we do must be hinged on the Constitution, and that the laws that we pass, whatever amendments we make, should not clash with all other laws in the country. It must be in sync with them. Dr. Lewis.
Thank you, Chair. Just to clarify, was this then of saying that the current laws are designed in the Principal Act, for example, Section 168, there's nothing unconstitutional about that. It's a consequential amendment to the composition, because that now is a competence that falls within justice. So the clause itself, as it stands in the Regulations Act, that's not the constitutional challenge. It's what's done subsequently, that who can do it and who can propose that amendment. We disagree with that, and it's also the problem here is that Labour Court is now being inserted. There's no Supreme Court that's being deleted or omitted from the Principal Act. It's something that's being added. And that also then, actually, who can be judges speaks to specific competence. There's a specific process when it comes to the appointment of judges. The Minister of Justice regulates that process along with the relevant commission. So there's other aspects that come into play when it comes to the composition of a court. That's why that's Table 6 competence lies with the Minister of Justice. So we're not saying that that can't change. We're just saying that it's not the right almost avenue of introducing this submission. This submission the Department of Labor can take to the Department of Justice and work in line now with what Schedule 6 is saying and what the Superior Court is actually putting is that this must be done in consultation with the Minister of Justice, because that's that department and that minister's competency. He or she must respond to that responsibility and keep an eye on that. So there's nothing wrong with Section 168 as it reads currently. We're just cautioning that any additional amendment should not come through this avenue, then it will be constitutionally an issue. Thank you, Chair.
Khalid, are you agreeing with the...
Chair, we've made our point. We think that the amendment that we made is that we pick the two amendments, not only on 33, Table 1 and 33. Table 1 is very important to network constituencies and the constituents that use the labor court on the rules of the labor court. It's very, very important. And then section 33, we're talking about judges here. We're not talking about a process of appointing judges. There are already judges of the labor court. They've been appointed in terms of the rules that appoint judges. That's the issue. Therefore, for us, we don't see it as an appointment of judges. We're not introducing a new appointment because they are already judges. And the question is that shouldn't they be treated the same as other judges? And then it's up to the committee in dealing with this. And the Supreme Court does not deal with that.
Honorable Williams and Honorable Diratahaya.
Chairperson, I've just got one question relating to this, to the department. When we pass this legislation, we're now passing legislation that fundamentally allows for labor judges to act in a particular manner. My question is, was it not correct of the department to take this through justice in order to get it changed? Because is it not out of, for instance, our jurisdiction, even though they are labor judges, isn't it, we don't have any, justice is in fact part of legislation about how the judges operate. So surely it's in their frame of work to do this and not in ours. I just want some clarity. Are we not doing something that might not be wrong, but is not in the way in which Parliament operates? That's what I'm asking. Thank you.
The last time when we discussed this, the impression which was created, maybe in my mind, was that these issues would be addressed by the PC on justice when they deal with the Supreme Court amendment. The question is, why have they not dealt with it? If in our understanding, they were supposed to deal with it, because now it comes back to us, because they did not deal with it. Why was it not highlighted to them by both the parliamentary legal people, because they knew about our discussions, and the department?
I think what is the way forward, where to from here? Are we referring this matter? Are we putting it in the parking lot, waiting for further engagement if the custom can go and check if, you know, if this matter could be referred somewhere? What is it that we're saying, Honorable Madam?
Thank you, sir. No, we can't put it in a parking lot. We're not lawyers. You know, we have legal advisors there. So, and I agree with the Honorable Williams.
Okay.
Indeed.
Only when you mistake.
the jurisdiction here, you know, the justice ministry, we have two territories here, the legal one and the parliamentary one. So we need to take advice from those so that we don't trip ourselves. And I think the issue that keeps being flagged is constitutionality of certain issues or not constitutional of certain issues. And I think the law officer should be able to clarify that for us.
I think let's refer this matter to the Committee on Constitutional, the Committee on Justice. And, look at how do we, who's going to make that presentation to them. Maybe Dr. Lewis and Advocate Gordon, can we meet after this meeting so that we check how are we going to present this to the justice people in the committee. Okay. Can we move on? Honorable Nyakima.
No, I don't have a problem with you meeting the parliamentary legal team. But what I had here, there were presentations that say the committee needs to take this into consideration. Now, the question that I'm asking myself, when and how do we take a consideration on things that have been presented to the committee? Because the at the end of the day, it must be the committee that comes with the decision. Meeting outside the committee, I don't have a problem with that, but nothing must be processed without the knowledge of the committee that you are processing this to this direction. Because for me, the department has advanced their argument as to why they think this amendment is correct. They are also quoting the same Department of Justice, say that we spoke to the Department of Justice
And in the class that the Minister of Justice has been fired, when this bill came to Parliament, it came to the Cabinet first. So the Minister is, of Justice is part of the Cabinet. So I think the presentation that says when you are about to make a decision, not ruling out advices that need to come, but and that raises the point that we must also find a way of, as a committee, how do we deal with presentations that have been made. And that's why they have to make that function. Thank you.
The other honourable member.
So just a quick point. I think we have had the discussions, and I think what we need to satisfy ourselves firstly is whether there is provision anywhere else in law, and I think we all agree of the importance of this section of the amendment, and I think we need to satisfy ourselves whether there is such a provision anywhere in law, whether in the Constitution, whether in the Superior Court's bill. If not, how do we ensure that we make this provision there? And I think that's how we need to be assisted to move forward with as a committee, over and above any other process. That's why I wanted to come in and agree with Honourable Nyikemba that yes, let's have those processes. What we need to be thinking about is how do we ensure that the provisions as proposed, and important as they are, and not only agreed by us as committee members, but also all the legal teams, how do we make sure that provision is satisfied? I think that's the key question. Thank you, Chair.
Would engage so that we can come back after getting more information and say, this is what we discussed. We have checked with the people in justice, the appellate division, this is how it works. And there are this kind of limitations or there are these possibilities. Then we can engage after having had information from the other section. All these people are in Parliament, we work it together. And if we have a hitch where we cannot make it well, and better you can't say you are making a ruling to the discussion, you know. I think we'll do better with more information at our disposal than scratching our heads when we can get that information from somewhere and moving forward. That's my suggestion. I am Khalid Benuti.
Mr. Chair, if I just, as you're
wanting
more information, just help with E159A. 31A, the one dealing with the rules board, which was simply being referred to. It's a very limited function class. And what it says is about the composition of the rules board. And it says, the rules board consists of judge, president, deputy judge, president, and the following people at the moment appointed by the Minister of Justice, acting on the advice of Ned Left. And it's people coming from... So it's really an appointment of people put up by Nedler. Very, very limited power. And the sense is that the Minister of Labour is the person who deals with Nedler, the Labour Party. And therefore, I cannot see how the mere fact of appointment of people to a board that it is considered operates entirely properly under the Act and whose constitutional status is not being attacked to raise any constitutional issue. It's merely to look at the nominations by NEDLAC and confirm that. It's very limited power, and I cannot certainly on that one see an initial constitutional issue to rise. The others may be more arguable issues, and they need to be addressed, but on this one, to confer a power of this type with the constitutional status seems very strange to me. And the other point, of course, is the rules board hasn't sat since 2003. No
nominations made by NEDLAC to previous Ministers of Justice have not been appointed. So that is something further that this committee should take into account. It's earlier than that. The last rules board, I think, was set in 2000. So I think that I think that's appropriately this committee can take into account.
And it's precisely those in the constitution of NEDLAC. We've got to make sure that this rule board sits as often as possible, because it affects the working of the court and the confidence of the constituency to the court. Because the rules of the court do not change with time, and things change, and decisions change in the court, and it does not follow that. And that's what it is trying to do.
Still feel strongly that we need to pack this one. We'll discuss it next time after our team has done the research to prefer they need to help us more in engaging when we have more information about what's happening. Can we move on?
I can think what we agreed upon by far. I can send it to the committee by the close of business today, and then circulation, and then the e-bill, the A-list for the 5 basic conditions of employment amendment, the bill for that, the A-list I will give to the committee secretary today, and then you can send it to PD. Hopefully we'll get proof today, and we can look at the proof of the A-list and the B-list. For the basic conditions of employment commitment. Sorry, Chief.
Like election, the RA, the A list, which begins from the state where one is all preparing for the committee, that somehow gets off. But just to know that we voted on the basic conditions of employment this morning, it's done and dusted. The only trade of year forward is from my desk to the committee secretary and CREDA. What happens is it's proof going forward, and that's us checking that the final print is right, and then CREDA prints the B bill and the A list as in the final, like it will look like the introduced version of the bill that government printed, that's what it would look like. But there's no other processes that come back to the committee on daily conditions after the day. It's just an administrative process that happens behind the scenes, technical things now. Thank you.
We are done with the RA. With the basic conditions. Members, the last item on the agenda that is not on the agenda. It's in with a white pen. The convention, we went through them last week. So this is the report that will go into the house. I'll go through them one by one, and then so that we can then we present them to the house. And those who are not members who want to be excused, thank you very much for attending this meeting. But you can still remain and listen to the convention that we have there. But the convention is there. Let's look at this one is the... report of the portfolio committee on labor on the international labor organization's recommendation containing HIV and AIDS and the world of work. Number 200, recommendation 200, and South African code of practice on HIV and AIDS and the world of work. 2012, target HIV code, 25 March 2013. The portfolio committee, they were having considered the request for approval by Parliament of International Labour Relations Recommendation concerning HIV and AIDS and the World of Work, number 200, and South African Code of Good Practice on HIV and AIDS and the World of Work 2012, including its technical assistance guidelines, referred to it. Recommend that the House, in terms of Section 231, bracket 2 of the Constitution, approve the said recommendation. That's this one on HIV. Is there an agreement on this one for presentation to the House? Thank you. The second one, report on the Portfolio Committee on Labour on the Decent Work for Domestic Workers Convention, dated 5 March 2018 today. The Portfolio Committee on Labour only considered the request for approval by Parliament of the Decent Work for Domestic Workers Convention 2011, number 189, and the recommendation 2011, number 201, referred to it. Recommends that the House, in terms of Section 231, bracket 2 of the Constitution, approve the said convention. Then an agreement on the convention. Okay. Report of the Portfolio Committee on Labour on the Labour Inspection Convention, dated 5 March 2013. The Portfolio Committee on Labour having considered the request for approval by Parliament of the Labour Inspection Convention 1974, number 81, referred to it, recommend that the House, in terms of Section 281, bracket 2 of the Constitution, approve the said convention. That's on Labour Inspectors. Report of the Portfolio Committee on Labour on the Maritime Labour Convention. It's dated the 5th March 2013. The Portfolio Committee on Labour even considered the request for approval by Parliament of the Maritime Labour Convention 2006, recommends that the House, in terms of Section 231 of the Constitution, approve the said convention. That's maritime. The last one, the report of the Portfolio Committee on Labour on the Work in the Fishing Sector Convention, dated today. The Portfolio Committee on Labour has considered the request for approval by Parliament of the Work in the Fishing Sector Convention 2007, number 188, recommends that the House, in terms of Section 231, bracket 2 of the Constitution, approve the said convention. Report to be considered. We just intend this for consideration, not for debate. For consideration. Okay. Thank you. This meeting adjourned. I don't know.